Amen. Everyone, grab a seat. Thank you so much. Thanks, band. That was great. All right. I am excited for tonight. Make yourself comfortable. If you don't have a cushion, get yourself one. All right. Tonight, we're going to have a bit of a moment, bit of time that we're just going to reflect on where's the church, what is happening in the church. We do that at least once a year. For those of you that's new to the church, you haven't heard this before. At least once a year, we sit down, we say, listen, as a congregation, this is where we're at. This is what God is saying to us. This is where we're heading. This is what is happening. And that's obviously very important because we want to grow as a community. And tonight is certainly that evening we're going to do that. I'm first just going to chat a bit about membership and the importance of membership, give a bit of a reflection where we are at. And then we're going to have a bit of feedback of ministries that's operating up there from this congregation. And just so that everyone can be informed and can see what is happening. All right, Fred, do you have my PowerPoint? Yes, let's go to the next slide while we're together here. And I'm immediately going to move to a quote from Bill Johnson that says the following: written within the spiritual DNA of every believer is an appetite for the impossible that cannot be ignored or wished away. There we go. Inside the DNA of every believer, there is an appetite for the impossible that cannot be ignored or wished away. Within ourselves, we have a desire to see the impossible happen. Let's be honest here. We're not here tonight because it's the most comfortable cushion you can ever find. We're not here tonight because you don't have better things to do or other things to do, because you don't have a life. We are here because we are seeking for something tremendous, something wonderful. We're seeking for God. We want to know God. And we don't just want to know God. We want to see God work upon this earth. The preacher in Ecclesiastes put it so beautifully, and I often think about these verses in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. And it says the following: yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Amen. Come on, Martin, man. Come now, man. Near man, my dude. Is there still an echo? Who's causing the buzz? Oh, it's off. Ah. Yo, you are easily distracted. Come on. Come on. All right. Ecclesiastes says the following: yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. He has planted eternity within your heart. You're not made for here now. You're not made for McDonald's. All right. You are not made, the dietitian confirms. You are not made for the here now. You're not made for a quick fix. You're not made to live just for the moment. You're made to live for eternity and beyond that. You're made to see heaven come upon the earth. You see, heaven is not just a place one day. It's not just a state one day. It is a complete different way of life. It is how it's meant to be always. And our desire is to see heaven here on earth. You want to see heaven in your marriage. You want to see heaven in your family. You want to see heaven in your work. You want to see heaven in your city. You want to see heaven in your country. You want to see heaven in your life. And that desire will never go away. Whatever else you may fill it with, at best, is just a shadow of a real thing. But that is what we're searching for. That is what we're hoping for. And that is why we're together as a community always. Because we want to see heaven now. He has placed eternity within our hearts. But, as usual, the preacher, the wise one, tells us that we cannot see God's work, the scope of God's work from beginning to end. We have a bit of what needs to happen now. We have a bit of understanding of what needs to happen now. So from time to time, we need to talk through this. From time to time, we need to remind ourselves what is an important bit. Where are we heading? What is really, truly important to us? What is God speaking to us about? Because you can easily lose that. We cannot see the scope of God's work from beginning to end. we must be reminded all the time. And I want to tell you as well, this is very important. We will never lose our dependence on God. Listen, whatever we do as a church, whatever program we have, whatever ministry we have, whatever people we have in the office, however strong friends you have in the church, they will never be able to replace God. God will always keep us dependent on Him. We will never stand on an evening like this and say, dude, no worries, we've arrived, let's go and drink coffee. We'll never say that. We'll come back every year and say, listen, this is what God has done, it's amazing, this is what needs to be done next. And we will have to remind one another of that. We will never arrive because we will never get to a place where we're independent from God. So God will keep us dependent on Him. That's why I'm saying it is blessed, actually, that we don't see the scope of God's work from beginning to end. It is blessed that you're actually sitting there and going, in my life, you know, I've got these outstanding issues. It's blessed. It's good. I'll tell you why it's good, because it's forcing you to be dependent on God. And that is a real blessing. So let's talk a bit about a couple of things. And I want to talk about membership next. And let me start off with a challenge. If we are here to see heaven come upon earth, and let me just say this. Listen, don't be a pie in the sky, dude. Pie in the sky is, I'm just hanging on for heaven one day. You are missing your calling. God did not call you to hang on to your teeth and hope for something to happen. God has not called you to live one day. He's called you to live now. He's called you to see heaven now. He's called you to serve His purposes in this generation. In this generation. But there's a challenge for that. Oh, wait. Let me go. Let me just say this. What has God called us for as a congregation? Let's go on. I'll just jump my own sermon here because I want to get to the next point. All right, let's go on. I think very important for us as a congregation. Let me just say this. Perhaps you're not very familiar with Shofar. You don't know who Shofar is. I mean, let's be honest. It's a weird name to choose, Shofar. I mean, the jokes. It's just everywhere. Shofar so good. You know, all of that. Okay. Shofar no more. Whatever. I mean, there's so many derivatives of this joke. Why did we choose the most awkward name ever? Shofar. I mean, for crying. We even changed the spelling about 5 years ago. It used to be S-O-P-H-A-R. Now it's simplified. Now it's just the F. For all you guys that struggle with the spelling. But why did we choose such an awkward name? Because, you know, the honest truth is a name often signifies something about you. By the way, I hope you don't see this as weird, but my name means to be pugnacious, to be a person that wants to fight all the time. I don't know if that says something. All right, we'll leave it at that. But sometimes your name says something about you. And Shofar, where does that come from? It's a Hebrew word that means ramshorn. And a ramshorn is not the most comfortable instrument the world has ever seen. Right, you're not going to find it in an orchestra, in the middle, Mozart, you know. Why on earth, what's the story of that? The thing about the ram's horn, it tends to be jarring. It tends to get people's attention. Have you ever been at the intercession, some dude pulls out that shofar, all right, and you're deep in the spirit. You're like, you're focused, you're praying, you're in the throne room, and the next thing behind you goes, you know, and they... it's happened to me a couple of times. Except usually, listen, we must get people in this congregation that's a bit better with blowing that shofar. All right? Because usually what happens with us is somebody goes like, and then they go, they finally get that. So please, if you are actually gifted in this area, we certainly do need you. That is a request from my side because, you know, yeah, anyway, leave it at that. So it tends to be a bit jarring. But what's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is to be a prophetic voice. The way in which the ram's horn was used in the Old Testament was to mobilize people, was to move people to a place of hearing God's voice and moving from there. So the army moved, they used the Hebrew ram's horn to pull the troops together. When people were anointed, the prophets would come, they would anoint kings, they would anoint prophets, the priests were anointed with anointing oil that came from the ram's horn. And the idea behind that, the name, the idea behind that is to say we should be a prophetic voice in the city. Now let me just say this, there are many amazing churches in the city and everyone has got their role to play. Everyone has got their role to play. Our role is to be a prophetic voice. And if we don't do that, we're sinning. But let me warn you, it's not always the most comfortable place to be the prophetic voice. All right? If you go and read the prophets, weird stuff happened to them. They did some weird things as well. Please don't do weird things. You're complicating my life. But weird things sometimes happen to them. It was not the most comfortable place to be sometimes. And I want to tell you, this church is not going to be the most comfortable church either. Make peace with that. Is that okay? All right. Because I'd rather be uncomfortable and not boring. All right. I'd rather be uncomfortable and really be looking to be obedient to God than be comfortable and just go through the motions of life. Whatever change we can make upon this earth, we only have these couple of years together to do it. One day, I'm going to be out of a job. No preaching in heaven. Worship leaders, they will continue. I will be out of a job. You will be out of a job. Whatever change you can make, you can only make now. One day in heaven, you can't be like Christ to somebody. You can't lead somebody to Jesus because, hey, Jesus is there. If you've got to do it, you've got to do it now. And isn't it funny that it actually happens when we are at our weakest and our most vulnerable? Right now, we are at our weakest and most vulnerable as human beings because we're not perfect yet. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. We're still struggling and working through things as human beings because we've not been perfected yet. And yet now we have opportunity, not one day when we're perfect. Isn't that amazing? Because to be honest, we're meant to be dependent on God. So what does it mean for us, very particularly as a congregation, in Cape Town, to be a prophetic voice in the city? Three pillars. I'm going to remind you all the time of this. You're going to be sick and tired of this. Sick and tired of me saying this. But we need to say it to one another all the time. Three pillars. Number one is seeking the face of God. Doesn't matter what we do. Doesn't matter what we see. If we don't have a true passion for God and a true intimacy with God, the rest doesn't matter. We can have the most rocking whatever ministry or church or whatever, but if there's no intimacy with God, it means nothing. We should remind ourselves all the time to seek the face of God. That is something that never goes away. And being a prophetic voice is always calling people back to intimacy with God. It's calling people back to repentance. Repentance simply means to go to the state we are meant to be, which is one with God, which is in intimacy with God. In the second place, we are meant to raise up leaders. Leaders that really makes a difference. Leaders that really make a difference in this country. Listen, you've got to say to yourself, do I want to be successful or do I want to make a change? Sometimes you can have both. But you must decide which one is the most important. Because you can be very much successful and not make a change. Are we raising leaders that makes a change in business, in family, in communities, in church? And then thirdly, representing the just nature of God. God's throne, God is enthroned on righteousness and justice. Do we represent that? When we go into communities, when we deal with people, can people see the righteousness and the justice of God? We are called to be a voice for righteousness and justice. These three pillars will remain. And we've just started with it. We just started with this. As a congregation, we're not that old. We're about 7 years old. That is still infant. That is still very young. We've got years to work on this. But this is what we must work on. This is the areas in which we need to grow. So every year, we're going to remind ourselves of these, and we're going to revisit some of these. Some years, we're going to focus on one of the pillars. Some years on all three, some years on two of them, but we always will have to build these pillars. Just read that verse. Fred gave me a verse just beforehand, and it just sort of ties in with a prophetic voice.
Okay. It's Psalm 72, and it says, "Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people. The hills, the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all nations and generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish, prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for his precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live, may gold from Sheba be given. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let corn abound throughout the land, and tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruits flourish like Lebanon, let it thrive like grass on the field. May his name endure forever, may it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his righteous name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So that's what it means to be a prophetic voice, to seek the kingdom to come. But now, let's continue. What is the challenge here? Because it's one thing to have a heart, it's one thing to have a vision. All right? And I don't think this is a difficult path for us as a congregation. As a congregation, we are exceptionally idealistic. People are really here because they want to see things change. They're not here because they want to be at the most comfortable place. That part is easy for us. But now to do it, to live it, that is something entirely different. And what is the challenge here? Let's go to the next slide. This is a photo of a recent baseball game in America. You can see the ball there. Now look at everyone. Look at every face there. No one's apathetic. No one's just sitting there. Everyone has got a certain reaction. Which one is your favorite one? My favorite one is a guy in the red jersey sitting with a beer in his hand going, but the ball is like... Look at the guy with a green t-shirt going like the chipmunk. I mean, he's definitely going to catch that ball. There he is. And it made me think when I saw this photo, I mean, I really enjoyed it, but it really made me think when I saw this photo is how different responses we have when challenges in life come. Because having a vision for something to change means there needs to be a certain challenge that we face. And in this country, we face significant challenges. And perhaps in your personal life, you face significant challenges. And everyone has got a different response to that. And that response is often comes from our emotional state. Perhaps, keep that slide up, perhaps we're fearful, and what you do is you hide away. Can you see the poor boy, and can you see the lady next to him there at the bottom going, ah. Sometimes you're apathetic, you just don't care. That's a guy with a red jersey and the one little hand going there. Of course, you have an over-anxious guy. That's a guy with a boop going, he's going to catch it. A lot of times, your emotional state determines how you're going to respond on it. But everyone is responding differently on this. Now, I don't know the outcome of this little action photo, but I would almost venture that no one caught the ball. Why would I say that? I would say that because, number one, they didn't expect it. But number two, there was no cohesion between them. No one worked as a team there. Everyone is on their own. Everyone is making their own decisions. Now look at the next clip, and I think this is what is important. Can you go to that clip, Fred? Fred is working hard today. If it's not playing, you'll have to...
Smarter to travel in groups.
Wow.
Teamwork. So, when we talk about membership and when we talk about church membership, we are actually talking about being part of a team. Now, membership freaks people out in this culture, let's be honest. And there's different reasons why it freaks people out. They might be afraid that we'll sell their body parts to, I don't know what, the highest bidder. They might be afraid that it's a control issue or that it's, you know, somebody is going to force you to do something you don't want to do. But to be honest, most of the times when we talk about the fear of membership in our culture, Cape Town, most of the times we don't want to be members because we want to do something on our own. From what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. The only difference is you and I must realize, or you and I must decide, whether you want to be like the person waiting for the baseball and hoping that you're going to catch it or not, because that's Russian roulette. You're going to catch it, then you're not going to catch it. Or whether you want to be part of a team. Now, from a biblical point of view, never in history is there such a thing as the anointed man of God on his own. Never. There's always a team element in Scripture. Can I give you the best example? I don't have a lot of time tonight, but to sort of unpack all of it theologically. But can I give you the best example of them all? Is God. God is the ultimate team. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We find two great acts that God is doing. God creates, God redeems. When God creates, he says, let us make man in our image. God works together. John 1 talks about, in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God. God the Son, God the Father, creating together, never alone. God redeems. We see in the Gospels, we see God redeeming and the redeeming God working. Jesus never doing something out of his own, but always listening to God the Father. God the Father affirming the Son as a vehicle of salvation. Jesus sending the Holy Spirit so that we can continue this work of redemption. God is the ultimate team. There's never a time that God was alone. God is the ultimate team. And membership is saying, listen, I want to be part of a team. I want to be part of a team. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying here. You are a gift. You're a gift to your family. You're a gift to this nation. And you're a gift to this church. Start living it. Start living it. Stop worrying about what you can do and what you can't do. Most things you can't do. And that's okay. Because we're dependent on God. But there are things that you can do that no one else can do. And the question for us is, are we part of a team or is everyone sort of reaching out for that baseball on their own? Now, there's many things we've got to talk about in this regard. And this conversation is not going to end here. But that is the basis of membership. That is what membership is about. It's about a person saying, listen, I want to belong to more than just myself. I want to be part of something more than what I can see and what I can do. And together, you can do so much more. That sounds a bit like an ad. I should work for a marketing agency, apparently. Now, in this week, oh yes, let me just, what Scripture says here in Ephesians 2, verse 19, says the following. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are members. You're no longer a stranger. So through the years, so many times people will come to me and say, I feel different from people in church. Well, that's because you are different. You're not the same as anyone alongside you. You're not the same. You are different. But it doesn't mean that you don't belong. You are members of God's family. And this is why membership is so important. That's why we emphasize membership. Now, what we're going to do for the rest of the year, and I just want to sort of bring focus to it, and then we're going to have a bit of feedback for the rest of the evening. Can I just go to the next slide? First up this week, we're going to have a membership evening. Membership evening is not about doctrine. Thank you, Anari. Membership evening is about talking who we are and where we're going. And maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've been in the church. You don't have a clue what we're all about. You might have been here for 2-3 years. Let me ask this question. Have you signed a membership form? I promise you I won't sell it to Google. They have your details anyway. Have you signed a membership form? Have you been welcomed from the front as part of this family? That is important. You might be new in this church. You might have been in this church for a long time. But have you done it? Until you commit yourself to say, I am part here, you're always going to be a spectator. And being a spectator is not the same as being part of a team. So this Wednesday evening, you're going to have time with me, and I'm going to talk through what is it that we are all about as a church. What do we stand for? What don't we stand for? Where are we going? Where are we not going, if I can put it that way? But we should have clarity about this. I want to challenge you. God is not into wasting time. He never sleeps and never slumbers. Stop wasting your time. If you are here, you must know that you must be here. And then you must become part. So we can move together. So we can do great things together. Amen. So this Wednesday, we're going to have that membership evening. And we're going to discuss through all that stuff. And like I say, it doesn't matter if you're new in the church, if you've been a couple of years in this church. If you've not gone through this process, come, come. Perhaps you're all member of the church, but you're not too sure what this church is about. That's okay. But then come and listen. Let's receive. Let's become part of a team. Also, we'll give you opportunity to ask me tough questions, because I like tough questions. I promise I won't say bad things as well, like for one membership morning. A guy asked me, what do you do with the money that you get every Sunday? And I said, we go to Spur on Mondays. But it's not true. I promise you, it's not true. Second of all, convergence coming up 2 weeks' time. Guys, make time for it. I promise you, you're not going to regret it. You're not going to regret it. We've worked hard thinking about what God wants from that weekend. And what's going to happen is that the whole Shofar family is actually going to come together. So we can receive from God. So we can worship together as extended family. Let's use that opportunity. Let's use that opportunity. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. So if you're not registered, register. Register. Let's go. Let's do this. Amen. Again, I'm working for the marketing company, it seems, tonight. Then, after that, as a congregation, we're going to have a series on the prophetic. We're going to talk through the prophetic. We're going to pray about it. Too many people say, I can't hear God's voice. You are meant to hear God's voice. The shepherd, Jesus says, the sheep knows the voice of a shepherd. You're not meant to go through this life alone and to sort of hope you hear something right. You're meant to hear from God. So let's talk through it. Let's pray through it. Let's grow through it. Amen. We're going to have a series like that. And then finally, very important, and I think God is just convicting us in so many areas, evangelism. The quickest way to change a nation is to see people get saved. Does that? No dubious answers there. Thanks, Nilas. Listen, we can have many programs, we can do many things, but unless people get saved, there's no real change. The rest is important. The rest is very important. All right? We can't have people get saved and have them hungry. That is just stupid. But we can't do amazing things in the community up there and people don't change in the process. You and I, we're here because we've gotten saved. Somebody else needs to get saved as well. And there's a lot that we need to talk through this. We're going to spend the rest of the year. So what I'm saying in terms of what's going to happen in the next of the year, membership evening is this week coming up. Then it's convergence 2 weeks down the line. Then we're going to have a series looking at the prophetic. But an ongoing conversation for a while is going to be evangelism. All right. Amen. So without further ado, let's start with the feedback. And just a couple of changes that is happening, a couple of things that is happening. And let's do a bit of, just greet somebody next to you, say, hey, hey, hello, hello. Take a bit of a break there. All right, as we move from the sermon to the feedback. All right. All right, first we're going to start with the office. There's a couple of changes coming in the office itself. All right, the first change is this. Ewald has moved out of the office. He's gone back into the business arena, the business world. He's gone back to Oricon, doing very well there. A heart for water in Africa. What is very important, just in connection with this, and we talk honestly with one another, that is good and that is important. All of us need to be accurate about where God wants us. And all of us are growing in that. And Ewald in the last 6 months has done tremendous work for us in the office. He's really brought a bit more order in the controlled chaos. A bit more chaos and control, but okay. Has done tremendous work for us. But what is so blessed for me is that despite the fact that he's moving out of our office after 6 months, he's actually got way more clarity about what God wants to do in his life. And that's good. That's okay. Now, Ewald can't be here tonight. We've broken him in the process, so he's on holiday. But we have got a little bit of a sound clip of him just that he sent to us today that he wanted to share in the Wildtuin of all things. So he's rubbing it in our faces, but let's bless him and listen to the sound clip.
Hey guys, this is Ewald speaking. This is a call coming from the wilderness. I'm calling you from the Kruger National Park. I've had the privilege of coming here with my family to come and spend a few days in the wild. I've been practicing my wilderness explorer call. That's a joke from Up, the movie Up. But anyway, yeah, I just had an amazing time in the Kruger with my family. We even saw a lioness stalking some impala this afternoon while I was lying in the swimming pool. It's just been an amazing time. It's been a holiday that's been planned for quite a while, so I'm really sorry I couldn't make it with you guys tonight in Cape Town. I know it's quite a big night, actually. Tien's sharing some exciting news and all kinds of things. Of course, as you've probably heard by now, I won't be working for the office anymore, which is really quite sad in one sense, but very exciting for me in the other sense. You'll still be seeing me a lot in church. I'll be behind the sound desk almost every week still. I just wanted to say a really big thank you to everybody that supported John and myself in this time. It's really been an exciting journey, and being engaged in the same time has been, and you guys have been just so amazing and so supportive of us. So I just want to say really thank you for the time. If you've got any questions about why or how or anything, please do not hesitate to contact me. As I said, you'll still be seeing a lot of me in church. Especially a big word of thank you to Tiens, who's been amazing in this the last month or two, just chatting through the process and strategizing of how to get Bernie in, and even with the new church and Yaku joining. It's just been an amazing privilege to work under Tiens and learn so much. Just been great to be discipled by such a man of God. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoy the evening tonight. This little lion is going sleeping shortly. Be blessed. Cheers.
Yeah. So in Ewald's place, who we've appointed is Bernie. Yes, Bernie is going to be our office manager. Let me just say this. When I was appointed as a pastor here in Cape Town, Bernie was a youth pastor in Stellenbosch. So he was a wild man, but now he's a rustige man. He's got an amazing wife. So what Bernie's going to do, he's going to do the office management of side, but not only that, relief life. It might be something you've heard of before. I think it's something that's really in the heart of a lot of people. And, you know, we really see it part of our mercy ministry as a church. Relief Life is going to function for the whole church group. But the base of it is actually going to move to this congregation. Amen. And Bernie is going to be the man who runs it, the man of faith. So, Bernie, after building you up, you must come and say something. Come. Yes?
Thank you very much. It's random to be back in a pulpit. That's us, Relief.life. You guys will know very much about it because of Vasi at the back that's helped us birth this and put this together. And it's been our heart now for about a year, Vasi, to bring it to Cape Town, and now finally the Lord has made a way that we can grow. Fred, next slide. I'm thankful I prayed about what I need to say to you guys. The Lord really spoke to me about unity. And with the U.S. Rangers, they have a saying, and the saying is leave no man behind. And speaking not only about unity, but the fact that that is the vision that we want to buy into and we want to do, is that we're going to leave no one behind. And I'll explain that just now. I've got 2 minutes left. Next slide, please. The Lord laid this scripture on my heart when we started Relief Life. Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. That scripture was first written in Isaiah. Jesus then quoted in Matthew and again quoted in Acts. Not many scriptures are in those three periods repeated. So therefore, I think it's a very serious scripture. And the Lord said that we as Relief.life, seeing we will have compassion, hearing we will respond. And that is what the heart that has to change in us as the bride of Christ. Fred Fochnina, as I believe. All right, you can help. Awesome, sweet. So how can you get involved? It's early days. We're still going to talk through a whole lot of things, Fred, moving along. But to start off with the first thing, you can just be yourself. All right, if you're an adventure addict, which most of this church seems to be, if you have a surfboard, a canoe, triathlon, biathlon, duathlon, pentathlon, there's many athlons, we can brand whatever you have on, whatever clothing you need. We can do branding just to get exposure, first of all. The second one, as you can see, we do missions. So we had a team that went up Africa for over 6 months that actually spent 6 months in Africa just seeing what's happening in Africa, where Africa's at. Next slide. Or you can be like Vasi, one of the hardcore volunteers. And what we'll be doing is every time there was a fire in Langa last year, we had the fire this year in Kayamundi. If you give up your services, then we can help you, or you can come with us, and we can actually respond in the time of needs. We've had a lot of floods where we actually haven't been involved. And once again, I'll be speaking and raising you guys up to do that, but I'll get back to that. All right. Next slide. Another big project that we're working on, and Ewald is one of our key guys there, is actually water. More people in the world don't have running water than people that do have running water. The stats are there. I don't know if you can actually see it. I can get it to you guys later on. But it's scary how little running water people have. And our heart is to be able to bring people plain and simply water. Fred, next one. That's just a cool pick that I put together. I put the little not for sale as well because I believe that human trafficking is a very big problem that we're seeing in the world today, and especially in South Africa, especially when there's disasters, because there's children that are at risk. So I put that one in there too. There's a nice guy up there with his belt, scissors, typical CA type person. It drinks a lot of coffee. Even financially, you can get involved. Or like the guys there in the top. Okay, you're going to have to explain that joke a little later to me. Thank you. I come from Stellenbosch, Platteland. Ons verstaan nie die grappe nie. All right. And then like in Japan, we want to put teams together that can actually respond to things like in Japan. Fred, next one. These are some of the things that we've responded to. Somalia at the bottom. At the top, the Kayamandi fire last year. And in the middle, the Japan disaster. And just to share with you guys in a quick note that when Japan happened, I put a team together and we're a team of 11 guys. Marcel was one of the guys that also went with. And we were driving over this mountain to go and clean up this mess. And we were living in inland and we drove over this mountain. The next thing is basically kilometers upon kilometers of just like off of Cape Town, if I can give you that kind of example, just flat, rubble lying everywhere. And the Lord spoke so clearly to me and he said to me that this is the promised land. And everyone else in the bus had a different response to my response because I started getting excited. Because I understood what Nehemiah understood. And Nehemiah had something in his heart. For those of you that don't know Nehemiah, he built a wall. All right. He saw the need in Jerusalem or in Israel. He saw that the city wall was down. And he decided, I'm going to go build that wall. And that was the experience that I had with God that moment when I saw this absolutely panoramic view of destruction, and I thought, I felt in my spirit the Lord just saying that. And that's where we're heading towards. That's what we want to do, not only in South Africa, but all over the world, guys. There's more and more disasters. Read Revelations. You might be surprised what's still to come. And then the last one, Fred, I believe. Once again, men, leave no man behind. And what we're going to do is we're going to equip you, we're going to empower you that you can respond. All right. That is our heart. That's the heart of what Tiens has been sharing tonight for Shofar, which is the same vision that the Lord has given for Relief Lot Life, which just proves that that is the right timing, the right place, and we're the right congregation. We'll be bringing more about this, but if something's stirring already in your heart or your spirit, you're feeling cool, that's why I want to get involved, please grab me, speak to me. I'll be around permanently. Thank you. Bless you guys.
Let me just say, Bernie, he was obviously in ministry for quite a while, about a year, 2 years? Yeah, 2 years. Then he was actually in the NGO sector for how many years now? 6 years. So he brings a lot of experience in this area into the office. And his function, like I say, will be that of office manager, but to really build up this component of Relief Life. Massively important. Amen. So we're excited about this growth area and what's going to happen there. Then the next person that's actually joining the office itself is Jaco Jansen van Rensburg, or as I call him, Aksiman. So is Lee in the Mavis room? Okay, so if Lee can hear, so you can come as well if she wants to. If not, that's okay. And do you know Jaco? Yes. All right, so what has happened is that we've had the privilege to merge with a congregation of a church in Century City. They called City Church.
Shofar Century City.
Now they're called Shofar Century City. And the pastor there, we've had a relationship for a couple of years now, Pastor Barrett Grieve. He's moving back to Springs, to Joburg, and taking over the congregation of his father-in-law. Unfortunately, there there's been health issues with his father, so they had to speed up that process. And we have a privilege that they actually entrusted this to us and said, but we want you to take this congregation. It's actually been quite rapid, quite suddenly. I think this has happened over the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks. We sat around the table. We had a discussion, me, Yankor, Hercules, Ross, and Yaku, without knowing, was appointed. And then we sent an SMS to Fred that was actually on a mission with Yaku. And Yaku knew soon after that. So so all kinds of new stuff, exciting stuff. So we're excited to see what's going to happen with the congregation there. The idea is to keep that congregation very much linked to this congregation. All right, they've got a very strong family component. They've got a nice morning service going there. We've got a lekker young working vibe going here in the evenings. And we've got, obviously, evening service going here. And the idea is to see how these congregations can work off one another. I mean, so I think that's going to work quite well. So you're going to see Yaku quite a bit. He's going to have a role within the office as well. He's going to focus primarily on evangelism. He is our evangelist, yes. And he's going to pastor that congregation there. He's already busy there. I see one of the congregants from the city churches here, Ilse. Nice to see you. And we're excited to see what's going to happen there. But give him a hand. Welcome the guy. And
so, thank you. It's good to be here, close to the mountain. I love the mountains. That's where God speak to me. And it's good to be here in the office with Tiens and Bernie and Anneri and all the others. And just quickly, like you know, shofar, discipleship, leadership development, church planting. So the church planting is where I come in. I'm in my place in the church. And I hope that you will all find your place where you must be. And just quickly, there's Shofar Century City. It's still the city church, but we all know that's becoming Shofar Century City. And we're very excited about where we are. There's a lot of potential. A lot of people like to drive to Century City. All of you guys, you want to go shop there. So then you can also go to church there in the morning. Okay? And the map is not so clear, but it's on the other side. If you go on the other side of Century City. Kiro Private School is there. It's in the hall, 9:30 in the morning. Just a quick, the next slide, you will see just something about the school. There's some people there. So we're having church. By the way, I've got 5 Microsoft minutes, so I'll be still going. You'll see there's a nice hall. They've got equipment. They've got sound equipment. Some of you guys will come through to us and just help us with some praise and worship. But I'm really blessed to have a few people there that can play some instruments. In Delft, where we used to be, we just had a guitar and I was on my beatbox. So that was our worship team. So what you have here, you must really enjoy it. Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of good things and we kind of get used to it. So in the next slide, this is me and my family. You'd have seen we've doubled your children's church. So yeah, and it's just great to be here. And I'm looking forward to spend time with you guys and doing great things together. I love to go on missions, just coming back from Jordan with Pastor Fred and Sias and Kulains. It was a lot of fun. And how everything happened before I left there, I just told Lee that we were in Delft for now exactly a year. And then I told Lee that I just sensed that I'm going to get a phone call from Pastor Hercules. So Pastor Hercules phoned you, and you're a pastor, and you know you're probably going to move somewhere. So I told her it's time to pray. Just pray for the leaders. Pray for Hercules, Sias, Yankor, Fred, all the guys. And then I left for Jordan. And in Jordan, all the things happened with the city church. And they were at like 1.5 weeks before their pastor left, and they had to organize everything. They approached Shofar, and then our names came on the table, and they SMS Fred, and then somebody said, but where's Yaku? They must now tell him as well of the suggestion. And then they realized, I'm with Fred in Jordan. So what happened is we were hosting a conference there, and we just had our last prayer meeting before we were walking off to the main event of the first evening, and Fred decided he's going to pick up his phone, And he just looked and he said, Yaku, you just got a new church. So I said, and I looked at Sias and he said, just say amen. So I said amen and here we are. Okay, thank you.
Amen. All right, so that's what's new in the office, or what has changed in the office. Bernie coming in, Yaku coming in, and we're joining up with the Century City Church that we're very excited about. We're going to have a bit of feedback now about the ministries. Everyone just shuffle a bit. Yes, feedback, ministries out there. But the only feedback we're going to have on ministries is ministries that's focused on going out, making a difference in the community. So the first feedback we're going to do is John. John is going to give us a bit of feedback about the Mercy Ministry, and she's really been amazing this last 6 months. She's been in the office. Oh, my word, I see a whole sermon here.
I have notes. Okay, good evening, church. It's such a privilege for me to just share about something that's very close to my heart, and I know from speaking to lots of you that it's something that's close to your heart as well, which is obviously, like Ian said, the Mercy Ministry. So one of the things that we've focused on as leaders is establishing this ministry this year. So obviously we're still at the beginning phase of it. But yeah, God's so clear in Scripture when it comes to social justice and our responsibility as a church towards the orphans, the widows, the foreigners, the poor. And really our aim for this ministry is just to create a platform where, as a church, we are mobilized to start serving those in need around us. So obviously we still have lots to learn. So we've decided to make it easy for ourselves to start small. So practically at the beginning of the year, we decided to adopt a creche in Joslovo, which is a small township in Molniton. There's a lovely Christian lady that runs it, and we've supported her by upgrading her facilities and helping her get registered with the DSD, which is quite an interesting experience. Most of you also joined us in April when we did an outreach day in the community. We played with the kids. A lot of the guys helped with the building, the paintwork. And I also realized that you didn't get to see the finished product, so we put together a short video clip to just give you a bit of a clue as to what happened there. So, Fred, if you can cue that.
Will we leave behind the innocent to grieve? On their own, on the run, when their lives have only begun. These could be our daughters and our sons.
For me personally, the most encouraging thing was just to see Mama Lorraine's reaction to all of this. She's been so encouraged, and so many times she just said that we've been an answer to prayer in so many ways. So, yeah, just from her side, she really sees this as an answer for just many years of praying for people to come alongside her. So, looking ahead from here, we'll be continuing our support of her and her creche. We're still finalizing the registration. And also, and in addition to that, we're helping her implement an educational program for the 4 to 5-year-olds in the creche. And also, just I'm going to put it out there. I know a lot of you work during the week, but if you have free time during the week and you'd like to volunteer, you can always get in touch with me if you want to spend some time at the creche. But otherwise, we're also planning another outreach day, probably similar or a little bit different to the one we did last time, where most of us would, we'd really like most of you to join us as we go into the community again, just really to bless people, to spend time with them, to get to know them, to connect. I'm sure the evangelists will have a ball as well. Just for us to get exposure and really just to, just to be in a place where God can show us his love for people. Continue praying for the establishing of this ministry. Be excited and expectant. We're still at the beginning. We're growing it steadily to a place where hopefully we'll become a sustainable and relevant ministry that can really reach people effectively in a way that makes sense to them and to us. Okay, cool.
Now, thanks as well for your financial contributions and your time just to make all of this possible. We're going to have some feedback now from Yaku about the CPUT students. We're humbled and thankful to be involved in the next generation's life as well. Amen. And CPUT is obviously the closest tertiary institution to us. So we're gradually getting more involved there, and we're very thankful for what is happening there. So Yaku is just going to tell a bit.
We started at CPUT in 2011, end of 2011. And I joined in the beginning of 2012. It was something to get used to, coming from a normal small group, going into a slightly different cultural CPUT small group. To be honest, like, that's what it is. Growing up in a wild culture, going over to black culture, it was hard. But in a way, it was the biggest blessing in my life. Getting to know these people was really, really special. Knowing that you have friendships in that race, that the basis of that friendship is totally Jesus. Like, we have nothing in common, except for God, for Jesus. It's just a massive blessing seeing students in a time where they have to make the biggest decisions in their lives. Basically, the time where those decisions are practically going to influence the whole lifestyle, and then choose to live for God. And just to be part of that and just witnessing that, it's just a miracle over and over and over. So I don't have any slideshows or anything like that. I was a bit lazy on that, sorry. But I think you have something better. The students are actually here. So I'm going to ask them to stand up. And I just want to honor them. Yeah, guys, I'm really so excited about each one of you. We've seen a lot of students come and go quickly, and that's a big challenge because we would love to keep you forever. And we know that you're students from far, and you come to study here, and you might go soon, you might new people come in. But seeing you guys and just seeing how you dedicate your life to Jesus and just coming into this church and just being yourself, and really these guys, they are hungry. Like Tien said, we can't just tell people about Jesus and leave them hungry. Our small group are very hungry. They come and we need to feed them constantly because they are so challenging us in a way that you can't just come and give a normal small group. Like, you have to feed them properly. And that's such a blessing because that just shows the passion they have for God. They're surrounded by people that's constantly living in the world. We all know how it is in university. And seeing them just standing up for what they believe in, and that just makes the fire in my life burn as well. And that just stirs the passion. So being part of that is a massive blessing. Thank you, guys.
Okay, then last feedback for tonight is actually from the missions team that went to London and Zurich. So if that team, a lot of them are away tonight, but those that's actually here, if you can come to the front. And they're going to share. Yaku, you can make a return again. They're going to share a bit with us. What is happening as a congregation? We are actually a base church. How we structure it is that the stronger and more established churches we call base churches. And the base churches tend to look after newer or weaker congregations because we are very aggressive in terms of church planting. We love doing church planting. We do a lot of church planting. And I'm so glad Oxymon enjoys church planting as well, so that's very good. So currently, as a base church, we have with us Ronnebosch, Table View, Century City, and then the three London congregations, and a church plant in Zurich. Hey, life is not boring. So we did a mission to Zurich and to London in July. June, oh my goodness, time is flying when you're having fun. And we're just going to do a bit of feedback with that. I think we're first going to show the clip, and then Neil and Gert is going to say something.
Day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
It was really amazing just to come together as believers and just to glorify God.
The love of God crosses all borders. All borders from every nation, every knee and every nation, every person will bow his knee.
Hallelujah.
We're going to get these ladies and gents praying, and we are going to teach them how to pray. We're just going to sharpen our skills, sharpen our thoughts. An expectation that the Holy Spirit will come and do the work. You know, I've got this picture in my head how I think I'm going to equip people, and I think it's going to be so not what's going to happen. It's going to be God's plan taking over.
And how Jesus is the foundation, and how the tree grows. Opportunity is there for growth in this place so much, and that God, if He stays a foundation, it can grow anywhere.
Really to fellowship, have those moments, God moments with the people around me, and to pray with them and just encourage them and also be encouraged by them and experience the love they have for the Lord.
still learned the love from God. What else can you learn than from God? The God of all knowledge. It's great to got the devotion from South Africa. But,
yeah, it was really, really good. The Holy Spirit was so strong.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church, and we need your power in us.
Let's go!
We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives.
Just think that God is going to show up and the Holy Spirit is going to fill this place and really touch people. I'm going to be playing with the kids upstairs. I'm really excited to just impart something of the Holy Spirit and something of their future and their calling into their lives. Amen.
Church, and we pray revive this earth.
We're praying for revival.
Build your kingdom here. Let the dark.
I don't know if I really need to say much after that, but yeah, we were privileged to spend basically a weekend in Switzerland with some believers there that we've had relationship with over the last couple of years. And the aim of the weekend, you can almost think of it as a church camp, a weekend together, and really to equip them, to strengthen them. They were especially hungry to worship God, to come before Him, to come into His presence, which was really amazing to see. And yeah, so the worship really blessed them. They were also really blessed by just some wholesome teaching and hearing the Word of God. And so we were really privileged to be able to minister to them in that way. And also just like personal ministry to each of the people who were there. So yeah, all in all, really just saw God reaching out to these believers in Switzerland who really they don't always have much spiritual input outside from their own quiet times. And God really ministered to them in their own needs and touched them. It was really a privilege to be part of that. So yeah, that's all I'd like to say.
In London, it's a bit different in Switzerland. As Tien said, we already got the three congregations there. Each of them are very different. There's a student congregation there, a family one, and a mixed bunch. Basically our mission there was to encourage the churches there. There's, if you think of England, to Scones, Bulldog, the Queen. It's hard ground. It is hard ground. And you can get a bit discouraged easily there. And it's good to be in fellowship there. And them being alone there, well, in the distance in London, we just went there to encourage them, to teach them some new stuff, get some fresh wine into there, just some fresh breath. And yeah, during the week, in the evenings, we had a worship session where we teach them some worship skills, and our Greg and Yaku just showed them the ropes there as well. And Bible school, I wasn't there. And we just fellowshipped with them. Each of us, we stayed with them in our home as well, being welcomed. You see, that's such hospitality. I got a better deal. My host is like a master chef. But just to impart to them on such a personal level, just and be encouraged by them as well. What I learned personally about it is like, once you let go of yourself a bit and give, you let go of your expectations as well, and through the process you get as well. And that's such a blessing to let go, to get to that point to let go and let God in partake furthermore. And yeah.
Let's all stand. Let's bring ourselves. Let's stand. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Band can come to the front. All right. So lots of feedback, lots of talk tonight. Simple question. We're ending off with a simple question. In your life, are you on your own mission or are you on God's mission? Are you on your own mission or are you on God's mission? Are you part of a team? Doesn't mean you should change where you are necessarily. Doesn't mean you should work somewhere else necessarily. Doesn't mean you should move to another city or town or whatever necessarily. Just a very simple question. Am I on my own mission? Am I on God's mission? Let's ponder that for a while. Now, we spoke about all the areas in the community that we're trying to be involved in currently. Mercy Ministry, Relief Life, CPUT, missions, evangelism coming up. Are we on our own mission or are we on God's mission? Let's pray. Let's bring ourselves before God.